This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Adam Montgomery in court and waiving his right to appear in court, although he may appear on some select days. Somehow it's up to him. I don't know how, but that's how it is. And also, kind of in a shocking move, admitting guilt now on two of the charges, falsifying physical evidence and abuse of a corpse during the defense's opening statement. This is a case that many of us are watching, especially if you're a parent and feeling very heartbroken by Harmony Montgomery, his daughter, 5 years old when she went missing and not reported missing for nearly 3 years after the fact. The fact that no one in the world of Harmony knew to say that she was missing is extremely sad. And even more disturbing, the fact that Adam here allegedly went on for all that time without much guilt, without much empathy for what happened. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. It's an interesting argument. It's admitting guilt to a certain extent, but not walking up to the line of saying, I killed her, but knowing you falsified evidence and abuse of a corpse. And we've seen in some of the affidavits and some of the testimony from those around him that participated in this abuse of the corpse. It's so gruesome and shocking of what he did with her body. I'm not going to go into the details, but it's beyond human, I think, in many ways. What's going on here? Is this another narcissist here that's playing the game of, well, I'm going to say this because it'll get me a lesser sentence, and just having no regard for reality of what he actually did?
Well, I don't know where he is on his arc.
Yeah.
I really don't. This is such an emotional case because every time you see a photo of that sweet little girl, I mean, I'm getting misty right now. My nose is tingling thinking about her.
Yeah.
What a sweet little girl that didn't choose her parents.
Yeah.
And look at a wreck that she was born into.
Yeah.
He is an extremely troubled drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't seem like he's hit his rock bottom, doesn't it? Even though,
no.
I mean, what the hell? The only thing I can think of, you know, I always try to give defense attorneys a lot of credit to working hard to get their clients the best deals they possibly can. The only thing I can think here is that they can't dispute the two charges they're claiming that they're admitting to. I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, there's so much evidence against them. And I have no idea how he is claiming he didn't kill her.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be really interesting what defense says about that, how they refute it. I mean, he's got zero credibility. He doesn't have anyone on his side. I mean, it's hard to imagine a jury not coming back quickly on a verdict. Again, we never know what the evidence is until the trial starts. But it's just sad. And I just hope it's quick. I hope there's justice done, but who knows?
With these two charges being admitted to, I can't imagine it's actually going to be a very long trial, and we're covering it here and we're running the audio on the podcast.
Yep.
And it's the only thing I can think of is exactly what you just said. The attorney said, look, you have no arguments here. We're really just going to go and go for as less of a sentence as we can possibly get, maybe. The account in the affidavit that I believe his, at the time, girlfriend or wife gave was that he struck her several times in the face. And I'm paraphrasing here, at one point he said, I think I really did something. I heard some noise, and then she was in the back of the car crying and then eventually stopped. And it still took them hours to recognize that she had died. So to admit to two of the charges of, okay, she's dead, and I then concealed the corpse and abused the corpse and did all this, but not to admit to the other part. It's kind of, I guess that would be admitting full guilt at that point. But to be able to have one and not the other doesn't make sense. It's like, here's the effect, but the cause, that wasn't me. Then what was the cause? What are we arguing at this point? I mean, does it dig the hole even deeper of just saying, I'm going to admit I did this, but I didn't do that?
I think it digs a hole deeper. I really do. You know, at this point, especially since they have, and they're prepping to bring the jury out to the sites that all this took place in, mm-hmm. that's going to be extremely emotional. They're going to see these places firsthand, which is extremely compelling.
Mm-hmm.
If he if he truly wanted and defense wanted to lessen that sentence, I think the only thing they have, the best option they have is to own it.
Yeah.
Just have full transparency, openness. Remember, we just talked about this. Open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. If you want people to have any sort of compassion with you whatsoever, talk about the meth problem we have in our country, how he's addicted, and the crap he did to his daughter to kill her.
Yeah. I mean,
if you want any compassion, just own it.
Sick of the ads?
We opt too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.